Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Today we would like to continue to talk about the ministry of helps. And I want to talk about the success in the ministry of helps. And let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we ask you, Lord, to open our spiritual eyes to see what heaven wants us to do. Father, may your anointing, may your Holy Spirit speak to our heart and teach all of us, Lord. Teach people, Father, through this CD or through this word in the media, that your Spirit will speak to their heart and the understanding will be clear and it will cause the change in their mind and in their spirit, Father. I ask, Lord, for your grace and your anointing in this class, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We have been talking about the ministry of helps for many times, and I would like to continue to talk about it. As you know, God specifically anoints or calls or appoints certain people to be in the ministry, in the fivefold ministry gift: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are people that are anointed to be leader in the body of Christ. This group of people have the responsibility to train God's people for the work of service. They are trainer, they are the coach, but the members or Christians are the one who will go into the football field and kick the ball and do the things. You know, the fivefold ministry leadership is the coach, train these people to do the work. And definitely, God have appointed a lot of leadership in the body of Christ all over the world. There are many pastors, many evangelists and teachers all over the world working in different sections of the body of Christ. And God going to bring all of them into unity together in the knowledge of God. Therefore, as a church, we try to connect to different parts of the body of Christ and learn from them. But in their own sphere or their own territory, God give each leader or pastor or prophet or apostle his own territory or his own sphere of influence. God wants to humble us, because if a man can rule, can be leader all over the world, he will be prideful. He will not need to depend on anybody else. So God always make all these leaders to depend on each other. You know what I mean? I don't know everything, but somebody else will know something more than me that I need to learn from them. And at the same time, I may know something more than another person that they need to learn from me. So God wants to have a so-called interdependence between people in the body of Christ. But each leader will have a group of people follow, a flock, follow the shepherd. And God will specifically give the vision or the purpose for that group of Christians under the leadership of that fivefold ministry gift leader, the vision. God, for example, God gave the vision to Moses to take the Israelite out of Egypt. God gave specific vision to Joshua to bring the Israelite into the promised land. So each leadership will have a vision to accomplish on earth here. But he cannot do it by himself. That's why not only anointing this leadership, he will anoint his member or his people in the local congregation with the anointing of helps to help the leadership or to help the fivefold ministry leaders to fulfill the vision God has given to him. So if you walk in that ministry of help, in that anointing, to help the pastor or the prophet or the evangelist to fulfill the vision that God gave to him. In fact, you are trying to fulfill the heart of God or the vision of God that going to work through that person or that man or that leadership. And what happened? God will take care of you. You understand what I mean? God speak to me this. If I can help somebody to fulfill the vision that God gave to him, God will fulfill the vision that God gave to me. God work that way in the body of Christ, that we need to help other people. In fact, I just got a letter from an evangelist who always go to Central America. He's going to, I think, El Salvador or something. And I want our church to send money to help this man to fulfill the vision of this evangelist to be able to reach out to the lost over there. Our church should partner with him to help him to reach to the lost. And then God will fulfill the vision that God gave to us by bringing people to help us. You understand what I mean? So, some of us in this room or who listen to this lesson may be called one day to be in the fivefold ministry gift. Who knows, some of you who sit in the back there may be a pastor of a church one day. You know Joe Austin. He was working as a TV production or something like a media production of his dad's church for years and years. He's the one who arranged all the camera, the show, everything. And one day his dad died, passed away. Then God anointed him to be a pastor, and he has one of the biggest churches in America. You see what I mean? But before Joe Austin became a pastor like that, he need to be faithful and get the job done in the ministry of helps to help his dad, I think John Austin, to fulfill the vision that God has given to John Austin while he was still leading the church. So what I try to say is that in order for you to be successful in what God called you to do, maybe God called you to be in the fivefold ministry gift, you need to learn how to serve in the ministry of help first. Amen. And I want to give the definition of the word success first. Success. What does it mean to be successful? Success means to fulfill what God gives you to do. Amen. The word success in the kingdom of God is different from the world system. Though in the world system, you are successful when you have $3 million, 5 houses, 3 car garage house, big car and vacation homes, and big money in the bank account. That is success, or high position in any corporation. But success in the eyes of God is to finish, to fulfill and finish God, what God tell you to do. For example, I believe that on the day Jesus was hung on the cross, in the eyes of the world, he is a failure. Because everyone ran away. He has no one follow him. He was the only man hanging on the cross. He seemed to be a failure. Is that right? I mean, look at Jesus today. If Jesus is a church, the person who built a church in America in year 2006, he is a failed pastor. No one follow him at the end of his life. He failed. But did he fail? No, he didn't fail. He finished what God called him to do. And What did God call him to do? God called him to come and preach the gospel, demonstrate the love and the power of God, and died on the cross. You see? So before you judge somebody that he failed, you need to be careful. Amen? For example, I know one pastor, Pastor Cornish. He never have a big church. He never have a mega church congregation. But he was a dean of the Bible school for years and years and years, producing a lot of workers in the body of Christ. And now he retired, living in a home in Washington State. Did he fail? I don't think so. I think he finished and he fulfilled what God called him to do. So therefore, we should not judge anyone, whether he failed or not, by just look at the numbers or the amount or the our things in his life. So success means that you fulfill what God called you to do. I give you example. If God, my whole life is that the reason I'm here is to come and disciple Pastor Caesar. And the church may stay like this, about 200, 500 people. And one day I die, but Pastor Caesar rise up and have 5,000 members. Did I fail? No. Because my calling is to come and pastor, shepherd this man. I fulfill my calling. You see what I mean? And I pray that one day my son, Paul, going to become a great preacher too. You know, maybe I disciple him and he can replace me and then do better work than me. But one thing that we know is that we would do the best we can to fulfill what God calls us to do. Amen? God calls me many years ago to take care of his sheep in this church. Whoever God leads to our church, we do the best to take care of them, to disciple them. And I am doing the work that God calls me to do. Amen? And one day when I died and I went into, I go into the, into the ground, I can tell God that I have done everything you have called me to do. I am successful in your eyes because I finished what you call me to do. I never give up. I never run away. I do everything you call me to do. Amen. So, the same thing in the ministry of helps. You are successful when you finish what God called you to do. You are faithfully doing what God called you to do. Amen. So, why I say that in order to be successful in a higher level of leadership in the body of Christ, you need to serve God in the ministry of health faithfully. You know why? Because there is a time of preparation for you, for the bigger things. In that time of preparation, it can be a long time. Look at Joseph. It took him many years before he became a prime minister. Look at Abraham. Abraham, if you study his life carefully, he was not a man of great faith at the beginning. You remember when a king came and asked him, who is this lady? He was a man of great faith, he would not say, this is my sister. But he was a man of little faith at that time. He said, oh, this is my sister, because he was afraid of being killed. But so God took some time to prepare him until he got a son, and he was willing to even kill his own son because of his faith became bigger at that time. So God need to mold you, prepare you for a bigger thing. Amen. Everyone go through that. You know that Smith Wigglesworth started to really preach and become powerful in the ministry when he was older than me. I don't know exact age, but he was older than me. He started. So many people take some time to prepare. So when you serve faithfully in the ministry of helps, whether Sunday school, sound system, worship team, greeter, usher, care group leader, media resources or CD ministry, whatever, or a secretary, whatever you do to help to fulfill the vision of a pastor, of the man of God in that congregation. God will train you a few, many, many things in that process. What God trained you, I give you example. God trained you how to, number one, get the job done. If God gives you a job to do for the pastor, and you can get the job done, one day when you become a pastor of a bigger church, you can get the job done too. God trained you how to forgive people. Because in the ministry, when you serve together, somebody may offend you. Somebody may make you upset. So you learn how to forgive. God is building your character through the process of serving. Because in the service, you may face some conflicts. You may face some misunderstandings, some difficulties. So God used all these things to mold you. Remember I say many times that God is not looking for your comfort. God is looking for changing your character and making you more mature. Amen. In fact, I thank God that many times many things fail in my life because that really helped me to grow more. If I become successful all the time, I'm going to be a very prideful person very fast. So sometimes God uses the negative situation in our life to humble us, to make us depend on God more, to pray more, to learn how to work as a team with people, to learn how to work with people who are different from us, different thinking. Can you work with people of different nationalities, different mindset? Learn how to listen, learn how to receive information, and learn how to communicate. Communication. All these skills need to be developed and need to grow up in the life of the ministry of helps. You notice whatever ministry you're doing right now, you have to deal with all these things. Human relationship, forgiveness, working as a team. Learn how to communicate. Learn how to listen. Learn how to understand other people struggling and time and all these things. So God wants to train you. But the key is this. What the most important thing is this, that you need to have the serving heart. You are not looking for a position. You are busy serving. You are busy serving other people. The important attitude is, I want to serve. I want to get behind somebody and help that person to be successful. I want to get behind my pastor and help him to fulfill what God calls him to do. You know, if the pastor knows everything like a jack-of-all-trades man, he knows about computer, he knows about website, he knows about sound system, he knows how to play drum, he knows how to play guitar, he knows how to sing, he knows how to do the typing, he knows how to play piano. If he knows everything, he is a jack-of-all-trades, then there will not be many members in the church. But thank God that God make pastor have limited ability. Amen. God, thank God that God make every pastor to have limited ability. He doesn't know everything. And he is not capable of everything. So that the members will be able to rise up and use their gift and talents to fulfill the vision that God gave to the man of God. And then those who get involved in the ministry of help will grow more in that process of serving, looking for opportunities to serve, learn how to cope with the problem, and continue to develop the faithful attitude. I would like to read to you Titus chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. Exhort bond servants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things. Read this carefully. This is not talking only about employee and employers. Not talking about 2,000 years ago between slaves and master. But we are talking about somebody subordinate who working for somebody that is above or have authority or have the leadership position over you. how you should relate to the people who have authority over you. Actually, I used this principle when I was working at Harborview Hospital many years ago under the leadership of Dr. H. Richard Wynn. And I tell you, it works. He loved me. He promoted me all the time because I used this same principle. Exhort bond servant like me to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. So when I was serving Dr. Wynn at that time, whatever he wants to do, I will do it for him. I will always faithful to him, support him. Every time patient talk, ask me about Dr. Wynn, I would say, oh, he's a great doctor. He's good. And nowadays I still say that. When I talk about Dr. Wynn in the Overlake Hospital, I would say, Dr. Wynn is my good boss. I love him. I respect him. Without this man, I would not come this far in my life. I am in debt with this man. I am loyal to him. You see, God looking for these people that loyal and supportive to the... Because you know what? God put these people in authority over you. So if you love them and you respect them, you in fact respect and love God because God is the one who put them over you. You understand what I'm talking about? That whoever God put over you and you respect them, you indirectly honor and respect God. So this is the attitude we should have. Is that to please, to make the boss have less headache. The less headache, the best for the group. Amen. If you notice, certain Sunday I preach better than another Sunday. I don't know if you noticed that or not. Certain Sunday, I preach like very good. But certain Sunday, I didn't preach very well. And I want to tell you one reason. How many people want to know one reason I don't preach well? Because I was discouraged. I was so burdened with something in the church. I was so down because something happened and some new come to me and I feel like, you know, I did not have energy to preach. Because I'm human like Elijah. You know, Elijah when the queen, what is her name? Jezebel threatened to kill him. He ran away and he was so discouraged. After he just saw a miracle of killing a lot of prophet of Baal on that top of mountain, the top of that mountain. So humans still feel discouraged. Sometimes humans have emotion, have this, you know, you cannot... You're still living in the body. You're still living in a man, still have emotion. So if you want to benefit the church, the last person you want to discourage is the pastor. Because it will affect people on Sunday. It will affect the whole church. So that's why God say, exhort bond servant to be obedient to the old master, to be well-pleasing in all things. Because when the boss is in good mood, is in good morale, I tell you, the church going. Is that right? The church will have seen miracle, faith rise up, everything going to go well. That's why, for the sake of the community, we try to do everything to make sure that the leadership of that community will have good morale. Encourage. Pump them up. Pump him up. You know, he need another morale. So, key of the success in the ministry of help is, number one, be submissive to the authority. Be submissive. The bottom line is this. One day, when we all stand before the throne of Jesus Christ, you know who's going to get correction first? I mean, whatever happened wrong here in the past 10 years, you think who Jesus is going to talk to and say, rebuke that person. Me. Is that right? Okay. The same thing. When Dr. Wynn performed aneurysm surgery And he tell me to give mannitol or valium to that patient. And if that patient do well, he get the credit. But if that patient died, who gonna get sued? Him, not me. I'm just following. I'm just doing what he tell me to do. The same thing, you need to understand that the leadership take responsibility for what's going on in the church. So, therefore, you need to just give, you need to understand he holds a lot of responsibility and a lot of pressure already. In order to help him to be able to fulfill what God called him to do, you need to be submissive to that person to help him to fulfill what God called him to do. I mean, you can give some idea. You can say, you know, I have a different idea from you and what you think about this. You can give idea. You can share your idea. It's okay. But the bottom line is that whenever he make decision, eventually the bottom line is his responsibility. So you need to say, okay, let's do it. We are going to do it together. And you know what? Many times God has grace when he sees unity in the church and everyone work together in unity as a team. He can supernaturally, graciously cover that weakness of the leadership and make something good out of it. Anyway, you need to understand God's principle. God loves unity. God loves oneness of the body of Christ. So, to fight with each other in the church is not God's will. We need to really walk together in unity. Amen. Submission will bring unity. Number two, be loyal. This is one of the characteristics of a good servant. You need to be loyal to your master. Amen. And I see that in many people in the church that they are very loyal. And God really, really appreciate and will show favor to this kind of people that are loyal to his servant. God ordained and appoint a man over a congregation. And of people loyal to him, God will really give favor to these people. Because when you're loyal to him, you're loyal to God too. So number two, loyalty. Number three, be reliable and have a spirit of excellence. If you're going to do something for your master, do it the best you can. Excel. Excellence. Reliable. When you say, I will do it, you do it. You don't drop the ball. Be reliable. People can count on you. The leadership can count on you. You're going to be there for sure. You will get the job done. You are a reliable person. He can sleep well when you take responsibility. He doesn't have to worry about it. You don't just disappear without calling, without telling. You know, you just show up. If you cannot make it, you call because you are reliable. You don't just disappear. That is being reliable. And the last one, the most important thing is be faithful. We must be faithful in what we do. Whatever God calls us to do, be faithful to the end. Amen. Faithfulness is the crowbar of God. You know crowbar mean? Crowbar is a thick, hard metal equipment that we use to break open the box or something. You know, very strong metal piece. So your faithfulness, you serve God to the end. Will make you strong, a strong believer. You need to be faithful in what you do. And I want to emphasize again that the ministry of helps is not less important than the preacher or people who have the gift of preaching, healing, performing miracle, pastor, evangelist, all this, not less important at all. The ministry of help also have the anointing from God from heaven. And God has a pool of anointing already that he wants to give to the body of Christ, to the church. And when you walk in that anointing, I tell you, you will be full of joy. You will feel like Samson, that you can push the wall and pull it down. You just push it down. You have so much strength and joy and energy when you walk in that anointing. Amen. Some of you may be so good in producing DVD. Maybe you are anointed to produce movie for the church, for the pastor. And I tell you, when you begin to sit in front of computer, the anointing come on you. You can do it for hours and hours without being tired. And you just feel like, ooh, the energy come, the joy come. Oh, you feel so good. And that is what God called you to do. And then you feel that anointing. You feel the calling. You feel the strength, the power, the grace in your life. Amen. But be careful, because the devil doesn't want you to be faithful. The devil doesn't want you to open the jar of your anointing and let it flush out and spill out all over your body and bless the body of Christ. What he gonna do? Oh, he has done the same thing for 2,000 years. He has done the same thing to Jesus. He has done the same thing to all the believers all the world, is that he is a liar. He's a deceiver. He is cunning. You know what he's going to do? He's going to come to you and say, oh, you don't have, maybe this is not what God called you to do. You spend too much time on this. The pastor may not see your value. Oh, no one know about it. Don't do it. Just go out and do something else. He will speak to you. He will lie to you. He will make you quit using your anointing. That's why I say again, faithfulness is a crowbar of God. You're faithful doing what God called you to do until God really changed you to do something else. Amen. So, don't listen to the devil. Amen. If God called you to be in the worship team and God hasn't changed, stick to it and just do it until God really tell you. You need to make sure you listen to God. Don't listen to your own brain. Let's listen to the devil. You need to be faithful to the end. And then the anointing will keep increasing. And in this process, as I say, he will use all this process to mold you and change you to become more effective in the kingdom of God one day. You may be such a great evangelist going to India, and when you start to preach, 100,000 of people accept Christ. But before you reach to that point, God is going to have to let you go through maybe 10 years or 5 years of serving in some ministry in the church. Doing something in the church for a while, he wants you to be patient. Don't listen to the devil. How many times in the church that God wants you to do something, you feel the anointing rise up in you. Oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to be feel like I'm swimming in the ocean of Maui, or Big Island, and with the goggle in my face and see the fish like a snorkeling. Oh, in Hanama Bay. Oh, feels so good. I love Hanama Bay. I love just to snorkel in that bay. So warm. You feel, when you serve God in your anointing, you feel that way. You feel like you are snorkeling. You're doing something, swimming in the warm ocean. You know, fun, happy, enjoy. But how many times you raise hand and volunteer, going to do something. And when you go home, you begin to hear the voice. I don't think you have enough time. I think you let other people do it. I don't think they need you. All this negative thinking come on, and either you yield and you say, I think you are right. Yeah, the voice is right. I'm going to call Pastor Cesar and say, I think I changed my mind. I'm not going to do it anymore. The devil, you remember that Abraham dug a well to feed his sheep and his flock. But who come and close up the well? The Philistines. So the same thing. The devil has a job to plug up your well of anointing so that you cannot rise up and flow rivers of God in you, the anointing in you to go and bless other people. Do you know that maybe the DVD you make, maybe the song you make, something you make, may touch so many lives in the church, may even touch another nations, but you may not know. You see what I mean? Maybe something that you do, maybe that one DVD impact a Japanese young man sitting there. One day he go back to be a pastor in Japan and reach out to another 500 people. Who knows? Don't underestimate God. You see what I mean? You know, I am standing here today because one couple from America, 60 years old couple, a business couple, businessman couple who got retired and fly to Thailand and stay there for 5 years. And they taught me the Bible every single week on Thursday night. Their name is Mary and Steve. Yes, Steve and Mary. I never forgot about them. 60 years old business couple who retired and just go to Thailand for 5 years. They taught a small class, only 5 people, and I translate for them for 2 years. I think they both passed away now, I believe. Steve definitely passed away, but Mary, I'm not sure. They may not even know that because of their faithfulness at that time in the ministry of help to teach the Bible in that Baptist church, one man became a pastor in America and then saved another. I believe that if we count all the people who saved in this church in the past years, might be more than 1,000 people. Amen. Some of them still running the church. Masami is still running the church, and Pastor Num, Pastor Ann, who knows? So don't underestimate what God is using you and calling you to do. Amen. Be faithful. Everyone say, be faithful. I will be faithful. Amen. And that anointing, let that anointing flow in you. And bless the congregation, bless the body of Christ. Amen. You may not see immediate outcome like boom, 5,000 people come in. But you know, sometimes you don't even see the outcome until you go to heaven and look back. Ooh, what I did in year 2006. I already died, passed away. But I saw the outcome later on. You look back from heaven. Ooh, what I did that day. What I did in those 10 years in that church. Wow. Revival in India. Something happened because of you. I just want to encourage you, don't have short-sightedness to just look for the immediate outcome. Don't look just today outcome, because you are sowing the seed into the kingdom. You are doing something that will impact long-term. May impact somebody, one man, may change the whole nation. Who knows, somebody sit around here from another country in the international group, one day may impact a lot of people. So I just want to encourage you, don't just look at today. Just keep being faithful, serving, do the best to bless all these people. You just set the goal, I'm going to bless everyone who come to this church and do the best to help them to grow and become strong Christian. And one day you go to heaven, you look back, oh, thank God that Pastor Lau encouraged me on February 28th, year 2006, to be faithful and never quit. And just keep going with the anointing that God gave to me. Amen. Because you know what? Faithfulness make a big difference. Faithfulness is the crowbar of the ministry of help. Amen. And when you're faithful, in your faithfulness, you enjoy doing it. You count it as a very important task to do. Remember, today before I came here, God spoke to me like this at my house. God said that, tell my people that you are serving. He said, you are not only sons and daughters of the King of the universe. Everyone say, I am a child of the King of all kings. Not only that, you are a servant of the King. Take the ministry with privilege in your heart. If you take care of the baby in the nursery, you are not just taking care of the baby. You are serving the King of all kings. Because of that attitude, when people come to you, for example, you take care of nursery on Sunday, you will not feel that this is a miss it room. I missed the sermon today. No. You don't feel like you are missing something. You feel like, it's a joy to be here. I'm serving the King of all kings to look after all this baby so that all of their parents can enjoy the sermon and go out and worship God. It's going to be my turn one day to go out, but this is not a missing room. Miss it room. It's a It's a privilege to be here in this room to look after all these kids. Have you ever thought that way? That you're serving the King of all kings, no matter what you do. And it's not something boring. It's not something not important. Every ministry in the church is very important. Amen. When I drove to the parking lot and saw Romero sitting in the van waiting for people to park, I looked at his face and say, this man going to have a lot of rewards in heaven. Amen. This man is faithful, driving every single many Sundays a month or a year to carry people into the church. And in the eyes of God, you are not less important than me. Amen. You are as important as the pastor and the preacher. Everybody, you are serving the King of all kings. We in our church, I tell you, this is our attitude. We put very high regard, high honor to every single servant in this church, no matter what they do. Even preparing the coffee out there. Steve prepare coffee every Sunday for us. Still consider high honor in this church. Amen. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. God values every single ministry in this church. Very important. Amen. And everybody, I just read about the word peculiar. You know, word peculiar in the Greek and Hebrew language means specially owned and purchased by somebody. Actually, it's not mean strange in the original language. You know, the 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, you are peculiar people in the King James Version. So when you go back to study the Greek language, you are specially purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are owned by Him. So in other words, everybody in this church is so valuable and important in the eyes of God. Amen. Have you seen yourself that way? That you are important? Amen. So that's why in our church we value everyone. Whatever you do, it doesn't have to be a so-called big job in the worldly thinking. You can even, I got an email yesterday, one brother witnessed in the restaurant and got that person saved and demon come out. I value this brother that he bold enough to witness to this man and help this man to pray to receive the Holy Spirit in that restaurant. You see what I mean? Everyone who is doing something for God is important. In fact, after I listened to the sermon of Pastor Kenny last Sunday, I was driving home on Sunday night. God spoke to me like this. I shared with Pastor Cesar already. He said this, son, when I used to be this way, okay, many years ago, before I came into revival. When I look at members of the church, I tend to look at the empty side of the glass. I will see all the negative things about you. And I begin to judge you, and I begin to, complain about why you are not doing this, why you're not doing that. I was like that for a long time. Pastor Dano, whether you agree or not, I was like that. I remember if people walk in and have no husband, like a woman who marry a non-Christian and walk in, and I would judge, oh, this lady, marry a non-Christian. I was thinking that way right away, and I would not value that woman. I was like that. But since I was have been in revival, God began to change my thinking that instead of seeing her come to church herself and no husband, you should at least think, hey, thank God she come to church. Thank God she give tithe. Thank God she at least come to worship every Sunday. Thank God that she at least see God. Why? I should look at the side of the water in the cup instead of looking at the empty side. And then God spoke to me like this on last Sunday after listening to your preaching. He said like this, son, looking at the positive side of a man or a woman that come to your life, and you have the Father in heaven who you can ask about what they lack, and ask the Father, and I will do it for you for the what they're lacking. You understand what I'm trying to say? This is what I practice with my son. I see the lacking in my son, and instead of focusing on what he lack, I focus on his goodness all the time. So I will love him. I will not discriminate him. At the same time, Father in heaven, I have Father in heaven, and I ask you to take care of all the things that he lack, and he begin to do it for me. So the same thing in your ministry. When you see people around you, you work, you serve God together in the worship team, in the sound system, in the whatever media, book club, whatever you do. You look at your brother and sister in your team. Don't look at the negative side of their life. Look at the positive side. And then whatever they lack, instead of trying to point out or dig it out and make them feel bad, no. You just pray. Keep praying for that person. Praying that God will do something for that. Because you have the Father. Everyone say, I have the Father. That I can ask for my brothers and sisters. Is it powerful? Prayer is powerful. And you can do that to your wife. You can do that to your husband. Amen. I know Pastor Da pray for me a lot. That's why I have been changed lately. I have so many weaknesses in my life as a husband. I was not very sensitive. I was not very sweet, not very romantic. But I know Pastor Da keep praying for me. Lately, I become more sweeter, if she agree. I become more loving, more sentimental. I was not sentimental in the past. I was very rough man. But lately, God keep changing me. Why? Somebody is praying for me, changing this man. The same thing you can pray for somebody else, whatever they lack. Amen. So if you can look this way, you can do the ministry of help, because the ministry of help, H-E-L-P-S. I want to give you the word. H come from having, E enough, L loving, P people, S serving. So ministry of help is having enough, loving people, serving. You need to do it out of love. And you, because you love enough, you're willing to pull your sleeve up because you love your pastor, because you love the kids in the church, you love the guests that come to the church on Sunday, you love them enough to smile at them and minister to them and serve them. It's the ministry of love. Helping, loving people enough to serve. Amen. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. God is looking for living sacrifices. He is not looking for dead sacrifice. And God say, your body as a living sacrifice. In other words, you cannot serve God just by your spirit. You cannot serve God with your own mind. You need your body there. You need to be there. You need to physically get involved in the ministry. Amen. You give up your time. You give up your energy to help. You give up your physical things, your money, your home. He wants your life, your physical life, to be a living sacrifice for him. If you want to do You want to be successful in the ministry of help, willing to give up your time and your energy, serving somebody. Amen. Verse 2 say, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Not only you give your body as a living sacrifice in the ministry of help, you are there physically, you get involved physically. Not just your mind and your spirit. But you need to understand that in serving the Lord, in the ministry of help, you need to have the idea of God. The idea of God in serving. The mind of Christ. The thoughts of God. You need to change your thinking. You need to change your lifestyle. Your close friend may be changed. How you spend money may be changed. How you dress up may be changed. How you speak may be changed. How you deal with the situation have to be changed according to the word of God. So it's a process that you need to change according, renewing of your mind, changing the way you think, you talk, you minister, and how you spend money. Everything you need to let God change you. Don't just keep doing the work. Amen. A lot of us have what we call task-oriented mindset. We just do. Get a job done. Yes, thank God for being so industrious in doing the work. But remember this, not just doing the work, but doing the work according to the way of God and according to the thinking of God, the God thinking, God mindset. And this takes time to learn and change. And I even still learning and changing myself. We all, the whole church, we are still thinking, adjusting our thinking all the time, the mindset all the time. Amen. If you listen to my CD, listen to my teaching in the tape many years ago, and you listen to today, you will see that I change a lot. Because God is renewing my mind all the time. You keep growing and changing the way you think. And you grow up in the Lord that way. Amen. So, be willing to change. Always adjusting. Always be willing to make adjustment for God to change you. Don't stick with the old way all the time. You need to be a new wise skin. Let God mold you and change you. Verse 3, Romans 12:3 say, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So in the ministry of help, in serving, number one, you give your body to serve. You give your time to serve. Two, you are in the process of changing and your mindset and your thinking all the time. Three, it's important, stay humble. And don't think just about yourself too highly than what you are. You can see the word measure of faith here. What I learned from this scripture is this, that you remember the parable of talent. God gives some two talent, one talent, three talent, five talent. You remember the story? And the Bible used the word measure of faith, glory to glory, double portion of anointing. In other words, God gives some kind of idea that there are different levels of gifts and level of faith and level of grace in people's life. So, each of us, including me, myself, God gives us different level or measure of faith and different level of anointing. Therefore, you need to find out where you are and don't compare yourself with anyone else. Because if you compare yourself with other people, either you will think about yourself too highly. You know what I mean? You begin to get prideful. Or if you compare, another one that you can get into, I mean, the devil has two extremes here. If you compare the level of anointing, the level of whatever faith and grace, you know, everyone has different grace. I thank God for the grace that God gave to Joe Austin. He's such a powerful preacher. I cannot preach like him. I cannot be like him. I mean, I cannot. He is better preacher than me, 100%. He's such a powerful preacher. You know, because God gave him that grace. And that grace is given to him. But if I try to compare myself to him, I may say, oh, I'm better and I'm going to be prideful. Or I may be on another extreme. I will be very frustrated and blame myself, condemn myself, and feel better I give up because I'm not good enough. No. You just focus on God, the grace that God gives to you, and keep being faithful. Don't compare one another in the church. Amen. If you notice, when Pastor Kenny lead worship, is you feel one way. When Wang Ji leads worship, you feel another way. When Solo leads worship, you feel another way. And when Joy leads worship, you feel another way. How many people notice that? I don't know. I'm very sensitive to the Spirit. I notice that each lead worship leader has different anointing and different kind of almost a lead, the same look like the cup, but different color inside. Maybe Santi like yellow color and Nita is red and Joy maybe green or something. It's really different. The Bible says that God gives us different level of anointing and different manifestation and different functions. And there is no cookie cutting thing or copycat. Is that right, the word? There's no, you don't find two person the same thing. No twin in the body of Christ. Amen. So, just be joyful serving whatever God called you to do. Don't compare this church and another church. Don't compare that pastor to another pastor. Don't compare that worship leader to another worship leader. Don't compare this and that. You just keep studying, learning from one another, learning from other people in the body of Christ. Get to learn from them and see what you can do if God called you to. I remember one time I went to a church and they have what we call healing school. Oh, I get so excited. I come back. I'm going to have healing school. And you know what? God asked me. This is a big church, 8,000 members in Oklahoma. And when I come back, I say, I'm going to have healing school. And God asked me, do I call you to have a healing school? No, sir. No, Lord. Don't do it. It's not your calling. They do calling school, it's them, but you can learn that they believe in healing. It's okay to learn the principle. But I'm not calling you to have a healing school. Don't do it. So you can see that in the body of Christ, God gives different manifestations. When I say manifestation, I don't mean falling laughter. I mean manifestation means the way God worked through a man and a woman in a different way. The style of preaching, the message is different. The ministry in the local church is different. Our ministry here different from the church on the other side of the road. Different from another church in Redmond. If we all the same, the Bible is lying. Because the Bible says it will be different ministry and different manifestation and presentation and work in the body of Christ. It has to be different. Amen. And it will be unique too. I just shared with Jane 2 days ago that I never share this with, I'm going to finish here and close in prayer. I never share this with the congregation, but I can share tonight. People say like this, that, Pastor Lau CD, you know, a lot of his teaching seem to be repeated with other people in the body of Christ. So I don't need to listen to him. I can listen to somebody else. It's the same. But actually, it's not the same. I want to tell you. Maybe the same subject, faith. Maybe the same subject, healing. But believe me, it's different. Not because I'm better than them, but because the composition in my life is different from another pastor. For example, one pastor may be the preacher of the issue of faith in that CD. He grew up in Pentecostal, in the church without discipleship and care group, without casting out demon. So the way he preached would be one way. For Pastor Lau, grow up in hope of God, learning about one-on-one care group, discipleship, touched by revival, laughter, falling down, have experience of casting out demon, have experience of struggling in our relationship between husband and wife. I am unique in myself, so my preaching will be totally different from another pastor, even the same subject. The same thing. When I listen to PJ preaching, it's different from me because her experience is not mine. So actually, we value all these preachers because believe me, you come out different way, from different angle. From like I heard that when Neil went to Thailand to teach about gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, so anointed, so different from me. Thank God that somebody preached different from me because of his experience, different from me. So you can see that if we know that God created us to be different, the measure of faith and grace are different in our life, so don't compare. Amen. God is going to call us and use us in a different way. Thank God in the body of Christ. Somebody may be starting a music school, worship school. Somebody may do reaching out to the South America. Maybe somebody, God called them to reach out to Japan. Some God called to reach out to India. Thank God we all work together in the body of Christ. We just join together and don't compare to one another. We just help one another, love one another. Amen. So we need to have that attitude in the ministry of help. So I want to finish here and close in prayer. And thank you for coming. And I believe that tonight you understand more. Let me repeat one more time before I close in prayer. Success means to do to the end of what God calls you to do. Amen. Somebody may be called to be worship leader. If you lead worship to the end, you're successful. Amen. So God's definition of success is to be faithful to get whatever God called you to do. It's not just looking at the amount of money in the bank account or those kind of measurement. It's just about your life that you fulfill God called you to do. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, help all of us to be faithful, Father. Help us to be loyal and submissive, reliable. Help us, Father, not to compare ourselves with anybody, but find out the measure of faith, the level of anointing, the kinds of anointing that God gives to us, Father, from heaven, that we will flow in that anointing. We will not put the wrong coat on ourselves, but we will walk in the coat of anointing that you give us, Father. Help everyone in this church to find out their anointing, their calling, their ministry, Father. Help us to work together as a team and value each other so much, Father. Thank you, Lord. May you raise up the new generation of people in this church to come in and fulfill the vision that you have given to this church, Father. Use us, Lord, to touch many nations, to touch as many souls as we can. But we will have spiritual children as numerous as stars in the sky, Father. Help us, Lord, in this generation that we will finish the work that you call us to do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Yes.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much,